Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Schools and districts across the country are grappling with a shortage of teachers, struggling to recruit and retain staff. According to a recent membership survey by the Delaware State Education Association, the state's largest teachers union, 75% of Delaware teachers say they're more likely to retire or leave education earlier than planned. This week, Delaware Public Media's Colin McKinnon sits down with Lauren Bales, associate professor in the University of Delaware's School of Education, to learn more about what's causing teachers to leave the profession and how the issue can be addressed.
We're talking about teacher retention today in Delaware. At Delaware Public Media, we've reported on the state's ongoing teacher shortage recently, and a part of that larger shortage problem lies the retention issue. So, you know, that's something that Delaware is certainly not alone in dealing with, but why is retaining teachers and keeping them in the profession an issue right now? What's going on?
I'll start with some broader context. I think this is not a problem unique to Delaware or a challenge unique to Delaware. Certainly, we see that teacher retention has been an issue nationwide for many decades, especially in some hard-to-staff areas like STEM or languages or mathematics. What we're seeing more recently are the results of some budget constraints and cutbacks that actually happened after the Great Recession, and then were further exacerbated during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. And so we have a couple of challenges here. I think one is we actually do, according to a recent report by the Economic Policy Institute, have sufficient qualified and licensed teachers in the country to staff the positions that we have vacant. The challenge is we do not have sufficient teachers who are willing to work for the compensation that they often receive under the working conditions that they must work. And that includes the workload itself, the variety of tasks and the demand of those tasks. It also includes the stress and mental health implications of working in that job. So those are two kind of driving challenges associated with retention.
Well, we spoke about this off air before getting started, but you've also studied patterns in teacher retention. So what have you found there?
Sure. So the research that I've done in this area in particular is about what we call alternative licensure. So we can generally think about teacher preparation and licensure in kind of two big categories. One is a traditional four-year university-based preparation and licensure, what we call traditional license or traditional certification. And the other is a very broad category called alternative certification. And these can be things like grow your own pathways. They can be things when schools and districts or state education associations license and place their own teachers. And so my research looks at how those two sets of preparation are different. What I found with my co-author, Sarah Guthrie, is that when you have an alternatively licensed teacher, they experience a different retention likelihood than a traditionally based teacher. And so our research didn't allow us to name kind of causal mechanisms for this, but what we were able to see is that likelihood is really exacerbated when they're placed into a charter school as their first placement. So we hypothesized a couple of things around this. One, we thought that perhaps if you are a person who's going into a traditional four-year university-based preparation program, you've probably thought about this career choice quite a bit. Like, this is probably something you're committed to, you want to do. Maybe like both of us, you have educators in your family, and so you have this sort of legacy understanding of the profession. And if you go into a traditional public school as your first placement, you are actually likely to remain in the profession. So you hit that five-year benchmark that we have come to understand as kind of a threshold of longevity among novice teachers. If, on the other hand, you are an alternatively licensed teacher, you are less likely to remain in the classroom and in the profession. And that likelihood decreases even further when you're placed into a charter school. Now, importantly, these data are from Texas. There are different policies that govern alternative licensure across states and charter schools across states. But I think there's maybe one or two lessons from this. And one is when we think about the kind of preparation that traditional teachers get, there might be something unique and valuable about that that connects them to the profession in a way that's durable. And I think the other one is when we think about charter schools in particular, other kinds of choice options, we want to make sure that teachers are really getting the support that they need and deserve especially in those critical early years of the profession.
You also, we touched on the wages here, compensation, and that can vary greatly in Delaware, depending, let alone any other state, but that can vary greatly in Delaware depending on where you teach. What about that? Can you unpack that just a little bit more for us?
Yeah, so I think one thing that's really promising in Delaware is we are growing teacher wages by quite a bit. And so by 2028, teacher wages will be at $60,000. And there are other staff and school faculty positions that are also going to grow in wages during that same time. So I think we are becoming very competitive in terms of teacher wage. Now, the challenge is teacher wages as a profession have not kept up with other professions associated with college education. I think that's one challenge. Another one is if you look at public sector wages relative to private sector wages, especially in the post-pandemic era, those private sector wages have recovered and actually bounced back much more quickly and aggressively than public sector wages. So that has, wooed some people away from public sector occupations like teaching. So we have some compression in teacher wages, even when you're rapidly enhancing the kind of base salary level.
Well, we've spoken a lot today about the issue itself and what's causing it, the factors and so on. But what's the downside here? What kind of impact do high rates of educator turnover have on things like student learning and the stability of like schools and districts? What exactly is that downside, that impact of a lack thereof teacher retention?
Unfortunately, it affects almost every aspect of school function. And so I think one thing is it's incredibly expensive to replace a teacher. So depending on the kind of district, it can cost between $9,000 and $20,000 to replace just one teacher. And so you imagine the kind of person power, the hours that that takes up, and the resources that search, retention, placement, training process might take away from other often critical needs in the organization. A second one is related to what you mentioned, and we think about instructional continuity, right? Just is teaching consistent across an organization? And when you have a high degree of teacher turnover, the answer is probably no. And that takes away from student learning. It can be highly associated with things like attendance and absenteeism. And then you have challenges related to the quality of teachers and the distribution of teachers. And what we tend to find is that the most novice teachers, who are still learning how to do the work of the profession, might be in places that have really high needs, that have really constrained resources. And so they need to be doing their best work all the time, even though they're still learning how to do the work of the profession. And so we see these distribution challenges where you're more veteran, more experienced, maybe more effective teachers are going to wealthier districts. They're probably going to districts with a higher proportion of white students. And you see your more novice, maybe more ineffective teachers just by virtue of less experience going to places where there's already resource constraints. There might already be high levels of teacher turnover. And so you have this sorting effect between effective teachers and not effective teachers, often driven by turnover.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that piece up to the veteran teachers, where those in large part might be the ones mostly leaving and the impact that can have. They're veterans, but at those schools, they mean a whole lot as far as being a staple, not only to a grade they might teach in, but to the entire school in general. So you can imagine when, that person, that kind of rock, isn't there anymore, not only for the staff, but the students. Let's unpack some solutions here to re a teacher retention in Delaware then. What are some ways we can improve teacher retention rates beyond maybe the wage issue we covered?
Absolutely. And I think that there's some good news here in that the wage issue is important, but it's not the number one driver of teacher mobility. So even if you look at Delaware's mobility survey, which is a questionnaire that teachers do when they move, it's sent to them by the Department of Education, the number one driver of mobility is school leadership. And so what this suggests to me is that when teachers are making the decision to move, they're thinking about the kinds of supports they're receiving, the quality of the leader in the school, and the climate and working conditions that they're dealing with day in and day out. And so there's this adage in teacher turnover conversations that teachers aren't leaving students, they're leaving schools and leaders. And I think we see that particularly in these kind of data that suggests leaders have a lot to do with it. I think one solution is equipping leaders to manage organizations effectively, to create climates of trust and support, and provide teachers with healthy and mentally sound working conditions. So giving them what they need, thinking about what that means in terms of the demand on their time and task, and also doing that connective work between the value of the profession and the demand of the profession. I think there's a lot of vision and mission casting that has to happen at the level of school leadership that might create a context in which teachers are more inclined to stay in a particular school.
Before we wrap up, I also wanted to cover student behavior with you. We've seen a lot of headlines and just media news articles recently about student behavior and how that's kind of driving this issue and the teacher shortage in general. So what about that? What are your thoughts there?
You know, one of my favorite books about student behavior, which is called Troublemakers, talks about students as canaries in the class, in the coal mine. And so the idea here is that when we see students responding in ways that might not be desirable to adults, they might be responding to a particular environmental stimulus that adults might be otherwise inured to. They might not be recognizing. And so I hope that we take this very seriously when we think about student behavior. I think our students have been through a tremendous amount, some of which might still be invisible to adults. And I hope that as we think, you know, about leaders creating contexts in which teachers can feel successful, connected, autonomous, that we're also thinking about the kinds of environments in which students feel belonging, success, you know, excitement about learning. And so I think there is a multi-pronged initiative probably available to us that's about connecting kids to learning, connecting kids to their teachers, connecting families to schools, inviting legitimate decision-making capacity among families and communities to schools. I hope that this conversation about student behavior is also a conversation about how can we meet student needs, perhaps more broadly than academic needs.
Thanks to Lauren Bales, Associate Professor in UD's School of Education, and R. Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We explore efforts to build the pool of math teachers in the first eight with one of the winners from this year's Delaware STEM Educator Awards. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.